ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to Who to Review, a show where your hosts, Tom Denham,
hello,
and myself, Ben Holt, we pick out a classic Doctor Who episode from the collection, a classic story, whichever that may be, whatever era, and we watch it and, of course, we review it. And this week's episode, or to kick off what will hopefully be many episodes in the future, we decided to choose Ghostlight. Yes, it is the first episode of season 26 with Sylvester McCoy, or the first story, I should say. And some people may be thinking, why Ghostlight? Why would you kick it off with Ghostlight to begin with?
One of the good things about this one, it's one that we both went in blind, and it's one that we both hadn't seen before, and you're still relatively new to classic Doctor Who, and I'm quite accustomed to it, but to have something that we both haven't seen before is quite novel.
I think that was definitely one of the factors going into this.
Because
it's always nice to view something for the first time, and
absolutely,
as you know, with repeated viewings, your mind can change on certain things like this. But overall, I was sold on this one. I personally enjoyed it. What were your thoughts?
I think, whilst I enjoyed it, it's not McCoy's strongest. It's definitely the beginning to a very strong season for the Doctor and Ace. But there's a lot of interesting stuff that goes on, that whole kind of game-playing thing that the Seventh Doctor does so well, the whole big chess game, that is really apparent in this story.
Definitely. It was one of the more darker McCoy episodes. One thing I commented to you was just the visibility overall.
Yes.
It was very dark. At times I was almost finding it hard to see some of the characters in the narrative.
I had to squint a little bit sometimes to see who was that. Oh, is that Josiah or the light? It wasn't hard to see the light.
But no, certainly not the light. That was definitely the brightest part of the story.
Yeah.
Now, for those not aware, and I'll just read the description of Ghostlight for those who haven't seen it, written by Mark Platt. And Tom, has Mark done many episodes for Doctor Who? Has he wrote many episodes?
This is his only TV serial for Doctor Who, but he's done a lot of, quite a stack of Big Finish now. He's written for the Seventh Doctor and the Eighth Doctor. So, he's made a significant contribution coming from Ghostlight, and I reckon Big Finish kind of recognised him for that story, and it's kind of a bit of a favourite of theirs as well.
So here we are, we'll go into the plot. London, 1983. An old house mysteriously burns to the ground. 100 years earlier, the Doctor and Ace arrive in a sinister mansion in the rural hamlet of Perivale. Horrors old and new await the Doctor amongst the peculiar residents of Gabriel Chase. But it is Ace who must confront her own worst nightmare when she discovers that her past and the house's future are inextricably linked. And this was one of the key things that I personally loved about this episode.
Me too.
Yeah. But what had Ace seen? What terrified her about the house? It was one of those extra subplots that I personally really enjoyed.
Yeah, and this is one of the stories where we get to find out a little bit more about who Ace is, and that kind of lapses over this whole season. And, we definitely find out a lot more about that in Curse of Fenric and Survival when we go back to Perivale and all that. But, it's this really nice relationship that begins to happen with the Doctor and Ace, where she can't really begin to trust him anymore. He's kind of in his game-playing mode.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, I really felt this one was very strong. It was a strong opening to a new season and arguably maybe even the best season of McCoy, or would you challenge me on that one?
I definitely say season 26. Whilst my opinions are very unorthodox, I'd say season 26 was the best season of McCoy. Not my favourite season, but the best season.
And one thing that you and I, we have to point this out, when Ghostlight is revealed, and spoilers to those, although if it's in the title, it's probably self-explanatory. You get to see him at some point.
Yeah.
He looked a little bit like Peter Capaldi, wouldn't you agree?
He did.
We
found that. His voice, not much so, but his facial features definitely, and that receding grey hair and all that.
For those that aren't aware of the story or just haven't seen the episode, by all means, definitely Google Ghostlight images just to see him. I wouldn't say it's uncanny, but there was definitely a resemblance there, I think.
Now, was there a standout performance in this story for you, Ben?
Oh, undoubtedly. It'd have to be Nimrod, I think. Just what an absolutely classic character. You know, it's a bit of a shame. They never really brought him back, as far as my knowledge, anyway. Mm. He never made another appearance, but I loved in that underground spaceship when they'd take the lift, and there was just some really interesting things that Nimrod got up to in there. And I don't know, I personally really liked his character.
He was the classic henchman.
Oh, he was. He was just a fantastic little kind of side character that had slot in there, but it really worked for me. Yeah. And obviously, who was your favourite?
My favourite was Josiah, who was played by Ian Hogg. He had a really... I remember his entrance, he just whips open the door and he has those sunglasses on, and it's... I just cracked up in laughter because I couldn't take it seriously at first. But as his character evolved, he proved to be really interesting, and he had this really weird kind of messed up ideology of like how stuff worked. And not to spoil the story too much, but he's a really prickly character.
It definitely all came together with him at the end, I felt. Yeah, he was definitely one of the excellent characters. And one thing I must address, I find over McCoy's run, the amount of female protagonists that they have in a lot of these episodes, like even Time in the Rani, Battlefield, there's a lot
greatest
of...
Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
Greatest Show in the Galaxy. There's just a lot of strong female protagonists, which I'm not certain there were as many back in the day in earlier episodes, but
here
I noticed
there,
here. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. I think it's becoming more apparent in this era, which is good, and that kind of lapses over into the new series 2005 onwards.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it's really of the time. Like, if you look at the first episode where they had their first black actor, there's a lot of... surrounding that in the TV reception contest, there's a lot of kind of like, oh, this is new to television. And Doctor Who is something that really kind of pushes that boundary and just does a lot of new things. Like, for instance, we know that it's the first show to have a female producer and youngest TV director. And
that's right. It was certainly... It's a very innovative program in front of the camera and behind the camera, just like with those facts that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Now, for those interested in purchasing Ghostlight or wanting to have a look, it may be a little bit tricky to find because, unfortunately, we've noticed just trying to purchase this DVD at the local shops, it seems to be out of print, or we couldn't get our hands on it for quite some time.
Yeah, down in Australia, I think for that instance, it was definitely hard for me to find. I don't think it's fully out of print, but the DVDs are slowly starting to go out of print. But
a bit sad, isn't
it? It is
really
a bit sad, but just have to kind of look a bit harder, find it on Amazon or eBay or something like that. And
and if you want to do a quick shout out to your friend who hooked you up with Ghostlight for today's episode,
I forgot her name.
we'll
leave that out.
So, where do we go from here? Did this, for you, was this a great series opener?
I reckon. Whilst it's not a huge story in itself, it's good because it's a good way to open a story if, like, someone is new coming into Doctor Who and they're going, what is this garb? And the reason why this story is good is that each episode, I think you found this too, Ben, each episode... kind of felt like it was its own little story.
Yeah, I think that was one of the key things that I particularly enjoyed about it. Unlike Time in the Rani, where it just felt like four episodes of the complete same thing over and over. And for those wondering, we will review that at some stage.
Eventually. It'll be the last on our list, probably.
Yeah, that's right. How many other we got to go? About 100 and...
Oh, about, yeah, thereabouts.
Yeah, goodness. It's going to be fun. Mm. But... I found with this one, and any classic Doctor Who has to have plenty of variation, I think, in the episodes and the structures of them.
Yeah.
I feel if they all start to flow together too much, I start to lose interest. So I think just the addition of adding different characters each time, like even just Ghostlight coming in right at the end, I think that really helped this episode.
It did, yeah. So out of 10 for you?
Look, it's hard to rank in McCoy's run. I... I don't think it's his best. That distinction we both agree on still goes to Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
Yes.
And at the bottom of that list would have to be Time in the Rani for me. So I don't know. I think this would probably come midway. So I think I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Cool. I'm gonna give it a 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10?
6 out of 10.
Gee, I thought you enjoyed it more than that. Yeah, you had a grin on your face the whole time.
I did. It's one of those fun to watch episodes on a rainy day. Yeah. But at the same time, it's not one I would rave about.
Yeah, right. Mm. So if you have any questions or you want to know how to get in contact, perhaps send us a message or anything like that, we're going to put a email link or a place to email us in the YouTube description below.
And in that, you can suggest episodes that you want to be reviewed and we can follow them up if they're in our DVD collection.
That's right. Well, between Tom and I, we have plenty. We don't have all of them yet. We're still collecting, but I think we will.
We're Melbourne uni students, so we can only get so much.
Yeah, that's right. We money. However, one last thing I'd like to address. For those who are going to write in and ask if we can review modern Doctor Who episodes from 2005 onwards, and yes, I should mention Christopher Eccleston is my favourite Doctor, sadly we're not going to do that. For this podcast series, we want to stick with the classics, because that's what it's all about. That's where all the fun is.
Yeah.
But, however, Tom would love to update us on some current some current Doctor Who news.
Yeah, so we'll keep in the loop of all the Doctor Who news in the Whoniverse. But this week, the second Series 9 trailer came out and it definitely sparked the interwebs.
Oh, just a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah.
My goodness. You know, there were heaps of people I didn't even know that liked the show were commenting on Facebook. Oh, my God, can't wait for this. Looking forward to it.
So, yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be a ripper, this series, I think.
And it definitely looks like they have a bigger budget as well.
Yeah.
And I guess since, like, the Comic-Con trailer went out, there's been a massive explosion of excitement there. But I've noticed on the BBC's Twitter account, every now and again they go, "Oh, looking forward to a new season of Doctor Who, make sure you watch that trailer."
Yeah.
And they've just been doing that kind of every couple of days, just posting the same trailer, and now we've got the second trailer, so I guess that's going to fall into the loop of that. But yeah, something definitely to look forward to, and I'm not too sure when it's going to be broadcast here in Australia. Yes, I imagine about a day after, but the official date for BBC and BBC America is September 19th. It's about a month away.
Just need that time to roll on.
So we're on the home stretch.
We are. It's not too far away.
In the meantime, one of the great things about being a Whovian is that we are never run dry. And because we have Big Finish Audios, they have the Sixth Doctor, The Last Adventure coming out, which is canonically the first regeneration story that Big Finish had been publicised to do.
Jeez, that's big for them. That's,
so yeah. I guess that's one of the reasons why Time in the Rani was such a shodding episode, because they just screwed over the regeneration. So Big Finish are just going to make it even more awesome and give the Sixth Doctor the final send-out that he deserved.
Yeah, he definitely deserves something better than what he got in Time in the Rani.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, but anger for another time, I think, on that one. So
in that story, the Doctor is in a four-hour-long saga, each episode with a different companion from his era, and they all pit it against the mice of the evil Valiard. So it should be a good romp.
And when can we expect to hear that one from Big Finish?
That's coming out in 2 days.
2 days, my goodness.
And you can buy that now, pre-order on the Big Finish website. Definitely check them out. They've also released their latest Fourth Doctor stories, Return to Telos, which is a throwback to Tomb of the Cybermen. And Fraser Hines also features in that as Jamie McCrimmon, the Second Doctor's companion. And what else have they released recently? They've started a new wave of audios with the Seventh Doctor and Mel, and they started off with an episode called We Are the Daleks, which I have heard. And it's very good.
It's so exciting that even though, you know, when we review these classic McCoy episodes, it's so nice to know that they're still making current stuff, but just in audio form.
Yes.
I think that's excellent.
I think it is too. And they're great to listen on the train, or like if you're a regular commuter into the city or into the country, or as you're going to bed or doing your chores.
Definitely. Yeah. I think what Tom's trying to say is he loves his Big Finish audios.
He really enjoys them. Yeah. Yeah. Kudos to a friend of mine who got me way into them. But yes. What else is in Who News? We recently got confirmed that Mark Gatiss is writing episode 9 of series 9. And that will also feature the guest star Reese Shearsmith, who played Patrick Troughton in An Adventure in Space and Time. Now, I have to say, there's a lot of speculation going on here at the moment. Is he just going to be playing a normal character, or is he going to be playing the second Doctor? Who knows? But I quote by Mark Gatiss that this episode will be nothing like you've ever seen before in Doctor Who. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, that's an incredible statement. I mean,
it's a bold statement.
It certainly is. I mean, 50-plus years of history.
Mm.
I almost think we've seen it all at this point.
Do you reckon?
Is he just trying to hype us on something? Because that's a big call, I think.
You never know. You never know. I guess we found that out with Stephen Moffat's episode, Blink. That was a huge game changer, an absolute classic.
That episode.
I guess one of the great things about that, you had that insecurity that the Doctor wasn't there to save you, but it worked out at the end of the day. But I'm looking forward to seeing what happens there. Another bit of speculation that's going on is that both Stephen Moffat and Peter Capaldi are saying that they're going to resolve. I'm not too sure if you've seen the fires of Pompeii yet. But you might be aware that Peter Capaldi was in that episode as well.
Yeah, I'm well aware of that. I do need to see that one, though.
So they're going to explain why Peter Capaldi is in Pompeii as well as being the 12th Doctor. So what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I'm rapt, because that was always something that I kind of felt was not quite a mistake.
Jarring?
But it was a little bit jarring to know that he'd already played another character, like a side character. So I'm actually rapt to hear that they're fixing that.
Yeah.
Because it almost reminds me of that terrible annoyance that Who fans had, where we never really understood how Paul McGann went to Christopher Eccleston, and they patched that one up in the 50th.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're fixing this little loophole in my mind anyway.
It's become a common occurrence, especially in classic Doctor Who. I guess we'll find that out as we review more. Like, Colin Baker appeared in a Peter Davison episode, and Nicholas Courtney, who plays the Brigadier, appeared in a Hartnell episode. It's definitely...
It's not a first-off type situation. It has happened many times before, and we'll certainly get into that and talk about that.
It makes me wonder whether it's going to be kind of tongue-in-cheek or cliche kind of summary that they make.
Well, it's hard to say. We may have seen the next Doctor in a Series 8 episode, you know?
Who knows,
if they want to continue that trend,
Now, my last point of speculation for today's episode, sighted in Cardiff, where they filmed Doctor Who, three individuals, Russell T Davies.
Oh, fantastic. Some great Eccleston writing.
Yeah. David Tennant and Paul McGann have all been sighted in Cardiff at the same time at the filming block of Doctor Who Series 9. What are your thoughts?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. No, that was first I'd heard of that.
I've heard some wild theories. But I think a part of that may be to do with the Fires of Pompeii resolution, as that was a Tennant episode.
Yeah, it could well be.
I could be wrong.
But then I'm not sure where McGann links in. Oh, no. I do get that, actually. Yeah.
What's your thought on that?
That's incredible. I hadn't heard of that. It'd be pretty exciting stuff if they can do it.
One crazy theory I heard is that in the finale, the Doctor's going to have some kind of degeneration and turns into David Tennant and Paul McGann. So that will be exciting if we get Paul McGann for Series 10.
Oh, my goodness. For everyone listening to the show, we should probably make it clear that Tom's favourite Doctor is Paul McGann.
Yeah.
Now, that's definitely debatable. Well, I mean, the best Doctor in Doctor Who is certainly something that all fans have different views on.
Yeah, I guess when someone says Doctor Who to you, you might think David Tennant, Tom Baker.
Well, those might be the first that come to mind.
Yeah, but yeah.
But for Tom, it's Paul McGann. He loves Paul McGann. Yeah. And we will be doing a Doctor Who the movie review. And I think I'm just going to sit back for that one. Let Tom talk the whole time because he's seen it. How many times do you think you've seen Doctor Who the movie?
Oh, I've lost count. I need all my toes and fingers to count.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, definitely a lot.
Oh, it's an absolute ripper. Now, if you have any questions or anything whatsoever, we can add it to our Who News segment. We're more than happy to do that.
Please drop a comment below in the iTunes feed.
Please do. And also, for those listening to us through YouTube, that'd be fantastic as well if you could drop a message here or there. And this was Doctor Who Ghostlight. I gave it a 7.5. Tom gave it a 6.
Yes.
I'm still shocked over that personally.
Actually, I'm going to change it. I'm going to say 7 as well.
Oh, he's saying a 7.
I'm saying a 7. I'm a mind changer.
There you go. It was a classic episode of Doctor Who.
It was a classic episode of classic Doctor Who.
Oh, wasn't it? So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we say thank you very much for listening. We hope you have an excellent night. And for those wondering what episode we're going to review for episode 2, well, we've actually made up our mind, and it may be the only time we ever review two episodes that fall next to each other in the Doctor Who hierarchy. And Tom, what episode would that be?
That would be The Curse of Fenric.
Oh, fantastic.
Fantastic episode.
Looking forward to it. I haven't seen it personally. So until next time, you guys have a fantastic day, night, evening, whatever you want to say.
Pancake Tuesday.
Yeah, fantastic. And we'll see you for episode 2, Curse of Fenric. Thank you.
Goodbye.